the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of love, you know our frailties and failings. Give us your grace to overcome them. Keep us from those things that harm us, and guide us in the way of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let's be seated as we listen to the readings.
A reading from the book of Amos, the 6th chapter. Alas, for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas, for those who lie on beds of ivory, and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls, and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 146 responsively. Alleluia. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in rulers, nor in any child of earth, for there is no help in them. When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the seas, and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever, who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Alleluia. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, the 6th chapter. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter. And Jesus told this parable. There was a rich man who dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Pretty straightforward, to the point parable, isn't it? Very simple. It looks like Jesus tells this story and doesn't want to leave the listeners any doubt about what the point is. One parable in three clear acts with a simple point. Rich people are going to go to hell and poor people are going to go to heaven. Simple and clear. That's the story. That's all that Jesus said. Well, maybe we should look at it again. I think that the conclusion that Jesus wants us to make here is not quite that simple. We have two main characters. We have the rich man and we have the poor man named Lazarus. In all of the parables that Jesus told in his lifetime, only one character in all of the parables ever gets a name. And this is it. This is the only character in all the parables that has a name. So that must mean that this is an important name. Lazarus. It's a Hebrew name. And it means God is my help, or God helps. Important in this parable, because later on we see just how much God does help this poor man. Let's look at these two characters in the story, there can hardly be a greater divide, economic, physical, social division between the rich man and the poor man named Lazarus. First, we get the rich man dressed in purple, the sign of royalty, and fine linen, the most expensive cloth that you can buy. And the poor man, covered only with sores. The rich man, reclining at his table, eating sumptuous gourmet meals every single day. And the poor man, thrown in a heap outside the gates of the man's palace, who longed to even eat the scraps from the rich man's table. The rich man, who has everything. The poor man, who has nothing. And in order to make the point very clear, Jesus adds a line in the story that poor Lazarus didn't even have the strength or the energy to shoo away the dogs that came around and licked at his sores. Can you imagine any more despicable character? What a person, this poor man. Well, in the second act of the story, we see that they get what they deserve. The rich man is in hell, and the poor man, Lazarus, the one who God helps, is in heaven. Very simple. That should be enough to scare the wealth right out of your pocket. That should be enough to make you want to forget that you even have an investment portfolio. Jesus says it. The rich go to hell and the poor go to heaven. Well, that can't be the point of the story. It can't be that simple. Well, look at this. Where does Lazarus end up? Lazarus ends up on the lap of Abraham. Now, with Abraham, rich or poor? Think back in your Bible history. Abraham was probably the richest man in the whole country. He had lands, he had flocks and herds, he had servants, he had slaves. He was most likely one of the wealthiest people in the world. So if he's in heaven, it can't be just wealth or poverty that decides whether we're going to be in heaven or hell. It isn't the rich man's wealth that caused him to be in hell. It was the fact that he ignored Lazarus. He only cared about himself. I read an article this week with the title, Soul Sickness. It was about greed. That was the rich man's sin. Greed. This article described or defined greed as the unwillingness to share. Greed is taking for oneself and shutting others out. And isn't that the sin of the rich man in this story? Only cared about himself and shut out the others. He knew Lazarus. Well, at least he recognized him when he saw him far away in the distance, across that great chasm, sitting on Abraham's lap. He recognized him. But even in that, the rich man didn't treat Lazarus as a person. He still wants Lazarus to be his employee or his errand boy or just that bother at the gate. He asks Abraham, tell Lazarus to bring me some water. Tell Lazarus to go and talk to my brothers. tell Lazarus to do for me. He's still only caring for himself. He's not caring for anyone else. Did you see the movie, any of the Lord of the Rings, or read any of that trilogy of Tolkien? In that story, we can see what greed does to the soul of a person. The character Gollum becomes a whining, slithering, despicable creature, repellent in every aspect of his life because he so greedily tries to possess that one ring of power. He wants that precious item. He wants it for himself. Greed is what causes his death, because he dies trying to possess this ring that he has craved, that has brought the destruction of so many people. This is a tough parable, isn't it? Jesus tells a story that hits us right where we live. Maybe I should say hits us right where we sit, right on our wallet. This story gets us. It talks about being rich and being poor. If you're poor, this story is a consolation. Well, at least when I get to heaven, I'll find some peace. This story is a conviction for the rich. So are you rich or poor? Do you consider yourself to be rich, or are you poor? I want you to, if you have a computer and internet access, write down this address, www.globalrichlist.com. I want you to do this, www.globalrichlist.com. This is what happens when you go to that site. Comes up with a little block that says, type in your annual salary. Hit calculate, and it comes up with a graph that shows the richest person in the world and the poorest person in the world. And it shows you where you fall based on your information, and it shows where you fall. Now, I tried this, and I thought, okay, I know I live in America, so I know I'm going to be on this side. This is the whole world. I know that I'm going to be on the side of the rich, but, you know, I know that I'm not that rich. I mean, look at Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, all of those Walton kids, that whole, in fact, this week, they published the list of the 400 most wealthy people in the United States. I didn't have to look. I knew I wasn't on the list. Do you know how much money the number 400 has? How much money do you think that it would take to get on that list of the 400 most wealthy people in the United States? $750 million. $750 million was the poorest guy on that list. Well, okay, so I'm figuring that I'm not going to be way on the rich side in the world, because I know there's a lot of people who are a lot wealthier than I am. You all know what I make on my pastor's salary. I came up on that, when I hit that button, in the top 1% of the wealthiest people in the world. Can you believe it? What else this little computer, this website shows, they figure out how much money you would make an hour based on your salary, what your hourly wage is, and then they tell you a number. And the number is how many people could live on 1 hour worth of your income for a year. There was a comma in my number. There were thousands of people who could live for 1 year on what I told that computer I make in a year, or in an hour. So, am I rich or am I poor? In the scope of things in the world, there's no doubt about it. I'm very wealthy. In the scope of, you know, maybe in the United States, I'm certainly not on that end of the scope. But this story, this gospel passage that Jesus tells us today should make us very uncomfortable if we are on this side. And if you're sitting in this church today, you are on this side. That should make us very uncomfortable. Not just because we have money, but what do we do with it? And how do we live? This story is not about how much money we have or we don't have. This is a warning. This story is a warning to those of us who are rich. It's a consolation to the poor, but I don't think that the point is for us to identify with the wealthy man or with poor Lazarus. This isn't a story where I'm going to say, so who did you relate to? I think Jesus tells us this story because he wants us to relate and to identify with those five brothers. With those brothers who were still able to hear the message and respond to it. The rich man says, send Lazarus to tell my brothers. And Abraham says, they have the prophet to listen to. And even if someone would rise from the dead, they wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't repent. Is that us? Are we ignoring the prophet? The prophets like Amos that we heard this morning? I mean, Amos cut no one any slack. The passage right before this one that we heard, he says, you all are fat cows lying around on your opulent couches eating food while people are starving out there. Share your money. I mean, he doesn't mince words. And Jesus says to us today, pay attention to Amos. Pay attention to that warning. Jesus says to us today, you have the prophet. Pay attention. You have one who rose from the dead, who came to tell you the truth. And who is that one but Jesus Christ himself? A few minutes ago, we baptized Isabella, brought her into this Christian community. She, along with all who have been baptized, have died with Christ and rose again, died to greed, died to selfishness, died to thinking about only ourselves, and rose again with Jesus Christ in a community of the body of Christ. We have been baptized. We hear that message. I'm so glad that we were able to have a baptism this morning so that we could see and again remember that we are called into this community. It's not about me. It's about us and our relationship to Jesus Christ. And hearing that word, hearing this word, where Jesus says, the rich go to hell and the poor go to heaven. Therefore, listen to the prophets. Listen to the fact that you have been baptized. You have already died. And you have been given the opportunity to rise with Christ, to share that good news that you have been given, to share that wealth, not only the wealth in your pocket and in your portfolio, but the wealth of the Word of God that we share. When we share, two things happen. It frees the giver from a greedy heart. It frees us from being selfish. And it gives the possibility of life to those who hear, to the recipients. Giving is the cure for an uncaring heart. Giving and sharing is the only way to heal soul sickness that afflicts those who are rich. But this parable is not about being rich or about being poor. This parable is about being helped by God. The only way to heaven for the rich or for the poor is to be helped by God. Through baptism, we have been helped by God. Through baptism, we have been given that grace, saved from ourselves, saved from our soul sickness, saved from our selfishness. We are warned today, warned to remember. Remember your baptism. Remember the words of the prophet. Remember that Jesus died and rose again. Remember to give and to share. Remember to live. Remember in order to live. Words that at first hearing seem too simple. The rich go to hell and the poor go to heaven. No, we all go to heaven, rich or poor, if we believe and are baptized, if we hear that word of God and respond to it, if we allow ourselves to be brought in to that kingdom of God. The rich man said, if my brothers could hear this, they would be saved from this torment. We're hearing this. We pray that God would help us to respond to these words and to save us. And thanks be to God that we are saved from this torment. Amen.